This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Tanner Wallace Scribner.
Tanner Wallace Scribner filling in for Ryan Young for today's show. No worries, he'll be back tomorrow. But for now, welcome to SaskAg Today. For Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com and buy Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's show, we will talk to Agriculture Minister David Merritt about an announcement from Innovation Saskatchewan that will help farmers in the future. We also have the latest Manitoba crop report, all that and more, including the market update, livestock report, and resource report.
This is SaskAg Today with your host, Tanner Wallace Scribner.
Welcome back to SaskAg Today for Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection and farm fresh water. Fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Innovation Saskatchewan is investing $170,000 in two industry-led research and development technologies through the Saskatchewan Advantage Innovation Fund and the Ag Tech Growth Fund. These dual development projects and grant programs accelerate the commercialization of game-changing technologies in agriculture, mining, energy, manufacturing, and healthcare, and help bring them to the market. Agriculture Minister David Merritt says both of these projects will improve agriculture in the province.
Technology really would reduce the composting time from like 3 months or more to down to like 5 days. So we see that as obviously a part of the old ag side, where we look at obviously different means, even in the fertilizer world and things like that, where it could have some means and some way of opportunity to work. And the other one is really looking at crop pathogens, and I think this is really important. So what this one will do is it's going to be an in-field device that will really be able to detect a pathogen in as little as 45 minutes. So this is something, obviously, that is really important to the ag sector. So we're happy that Innovation Saskatchewan, you know, made these announcements. And really what it is, it's a fund that really looks at ag technology and how they can take it from you know, from the tech side to commercialization and bringing it into the world for obviously the agriculture industry to utilize. So it's another opportunity for us to grow the ag sector and the technology side and really give opportunity for these bright young minds that are coming up with these new innovations in ag technology to take it to commercialization.
How are producers going to be able to leverage this technology?
Well, really what it'll do is if they develop these devices and these mechanisms, then it takes it to commercialization, to a retail business. So then the producers have the opportunity to use these instruments and things like that. So if they're out in the field doing things, or if agrologists can do it, now they obviously, you know, with the pathogen side, it takes quite a while to detect that. Now if they can get it down to a matter of less than an hour, it obviously really enhances the producer's capability and opportunity and decision making on how he wants to react to the pathogen and work with it.
And is it a case where spending less time helps save money for producers?
Well, sure it does, and it just gives opportunity to make sure you detect something, you know, a lot quicker, and that in the scope of the pathogen technology, and even on the composting side, if you're taking something that usually took 3 to 4 months and can bring it down to a matter of days. It just gives opportunity for all sectors to utilize all means to obviously grow the ag sector and find new ways of improving their operations.
And while we are talking about this technology right now, it's going to be a while before producers and farmers are able to use this.
That's right. And that's what this fund helps them do. It helps them take it from that technology to commercialization. That's exactly what it does.
And while we have you, Ag Minister, if you look outside, maybe not the type of weather you want to be traveling in, but good news for producers. What have you heard from people just regarding the recent moisture we've already got and that we're set to receive for the rest of the week?
Yeah, it's actually looking pretty good. I know, you know, talking to folks at home even this morning and yesterday, a half an inch or maybe a little more rain, and I think that's right across the whole Southwest, and some probably got a little more. It's obviously very welcome news. It's very timely. I know most of the seeding operations are kind of well underway or just getting going, so this is welcome news for them. I don't think they'll be too upset, stop for a day or two for moisture. And the pasture side, that, you know, a lot of the pastures were starting to green up, so this will just give them a little boost, which is really, really good. And we're hearing more in the forecast. We're hearing Alberta's getting lots. It's obviously going to help the runoff situation as well there too. So this is all good moisture, welcome moisture, and Mother Nature has a way of answering the call.
And we are getting into the season where some people are seeding. Equipment's going to be on the move. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
No, I guess really, you know, we're getting into the spring season. I always give the message of being safe out there. You know, there's big equipment moving up and down the roads. I ask all citizens to, you know, to be mindful of that and watch for that. And everybody be careful. It's a busy time of the season, and farmers are out in the fields.
That was Agriculture Minister David Merritt.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance. Storms are unpredictable. We aren't. MunicipalHail.ca. Manitoba Agriculture has issued their first crop report of 2024. Seeding progress across the province has just begun, with about 2% of acres being seeded. Producers have begun seeding spring wheat, barley, oats, and corn. The central region is most advanced, with about 10% of each in a major cereals planted. Corn planting is about 1% complete. Amir Farouk is a crop protection extension specialist from Brandon, and he covers the southwest region of the province.
West area, mostly like south of number one highway, we have some producers who started some cereals and some peas. And also there are some producers in north side of number one highway, close to Hamiota Rivers in that area and Miniota. There are some few producers also started some seeding. And but most of the part, it's very like minor seeding happened. Close to 1 or 2% overall, but most of producers are still waiting because we have some rains, and even today there are some rain is happening right now in Brandon area. So hopefully when the fields will be dry, so a producer will be going with full strength.
He gives an update on how winter cereals are doing.
Winter cereals, mostly fall rye and winter wheat, they are looking very good and coming along, and mostly very little winter kill happened this year. Even we did not have much snow cover, but still we have a very, right now it's looking very good, and producers are planning for the fertilization.
He notes pastures and hay fields are just starting to come out of dormancy in southwest Manitoba.
Yeah, exactly, but their growth is a little slow because of coming along. So fields are looking green, so it's coming along.
He says many cattle still need to be given winter feed.
Yeah, I think maybe we need some still some good temperature and moisture in next 1 or 2 weeks. So then I think producers will bring their cattle out to the pastures.
He says dugout levels are looking great right now.
Dugouts at this stage mostly at their optimum level, and they are close to 80 to 90% at their full capacity. So, because just snow melted, and at this stage, we are in good shape for as a water point of view.
And he had these final comments.
Hopefully, we have good weather conditions in next week, and we should have a lot of people in the field, and more seeding will happen.
That was Amir Farouk, a crop extension specialist from Brandon, who covers the southwest region of the province.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Time for today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94. For Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers in My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Started in parts of Saskatchewan, while many areas are still waiting on more moisture, according to the province's pulse specialist. Dale Rizzula says most of Saskatchewan is on the drier side, although not every area is struggling with a lack of moisture. He adds that most parts of the province are set to start seeding in the coming weeks if they haven't already. Rizzula says planting season in Saskatchewan typically begins in the southwest corner of the province, with areas north and east soon to follow. He adds that peas and chickpeas are usually some of the first crops in the ground due to their ability to withstand early spring frosts. Rizzula believes lentil acres will go up, but seeded area for chickpeas will be steady to higher, and those for dry peas will be lower. Warmer than normal temperatures are expected across most of Canada over the next 3 months. That's according to the latest long-range seasonal forecast from Environment and Climate Change Canada as of yesterday. The government agency called for a 40 to 60% chance of above normal temperatures from May through July across most of the three prairie provinces, with only a small area of southern Alberta forecast to see normal temperatures. Precipitation is expected to be normal across most of the agricultural areas of the country during the period, aside from parts of south-central Alberta, where there's a probability of above-normal precipitation. Central British Columbia and most of Labrador also have a chance of experiencing above-normal precipitation, while the far north of Saskatchewan and Alberta could be on the dry side. Canada's Auditor General was highly critical of the federal government's efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in agriculture in an independent report released yesterday. The audit found Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, or AAFC, has failed to design, implement, and then track plans for how the agriculture sector will contribute to Canada's 2030 and 2050 greenhouse gas reduction commitments. The report cites many shortcomings, including a lack of clear targets, poor data collection, program delays, and incomplete verification and monitoring. The review specifically looked at the rollout and results of three programs launched in 2021, the Living Labs Program, the On-Farm Climate Action Fund, and the Agricultural Clean Technology Program. Altogether, more than $1.5 billion in federal funding has been earmarked for these three programs. The audit also assessed AAFC's work toward reaching the government's fertilizer and methane emissions reduction targets. Oly Mills Poultry and Pork Processing Facility at Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu, Quebec, will be shuttered this summer. The decision comes against a backdrop of falling production volumes, which has led the plant to operate at only 40% of its operational capacity. Operations at the plant will be redeployed to other Oly Mill facilities. The closure will affect 135 employees, including 30 temporary foreign workers. The company says workers would be given the option to relocate to neighboring plants. Oly Mill has seen a spate of losses in recent years. It dialed back hog production in Alberta and Saskatchewan last year and closed several processing plants in Ontario and Quebec. Earlier this year, Oly Mill's parent company, Solio Cooperative Group, said it was back in the black after 2023's losses, with Oly Mill posting a surplus of $138.3 million after a loss of $446.1 million in 2022. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will test ground beef for bird flu particles, although officials say they're confident America's meat supply is safe
Bird flu has been found in nearly three dozen dairy herds across nine states. The new testing is the latest effort by the government to track and understand how the virus is spreading among livestock. A week ago, the USDA confirmed it found non-infectious remnants of the bird flu virus in pasteurized milk. Scientists say there's no evidence to suggest people can get bird flu by consuming food that's been pasteurized or properly cooked. I'm Shelley Adler.
And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your SaskAg Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina. Specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan, call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866 and Moose Jaw Truck Shop. The number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Here's Precision Weather's Phil Spivak.
Thanks. Thanks very much for calling, Phil. So this is, we got a little bit of a wet weather thing going on here for the next couple of days. What's it looking like from your perspective?
Well, it is going to be fairly wet, though the wetness will end this afternoon. We'll see the rain coming to an end, and there may be some lingering showers and sprinkles, but very little as far as measurable rainfall goes once we get beyond the mid-afternoon today. Tonight, tomorrow, it's that same light sprinkles here and there, spotty showers, almost drizzle at times. Temperatures tonight get down to minus one. Not really concerned for any significant snow. Temperatures are staying warm enough. There could be a few wet flakes, though, very easily mixing in. But the precipitation, whether with rain or snow tonight, is that limited stuff. Tomorrow, though, that changes a bit. Tomorrow night, we could get a little measurable precipitation in. Temperature right around zero. That puts us right on the cusp, late tomorrow night into early Friday morning, for a little bit of snow. There could be slushy whiteness, mainly off the roads, but certainly an impactful morning with that. 9 degrees the high tomorrow after 8 today. We'll be around a 7 on Friday. Then we break out of this cold air mass. Not only do we break out of the cold, but we get out of the cloud cover too. Cloud, limited sunshine Saturday, 12, and partly sunny on Sunday, up to around 18.
So when people look out their windows and they see snow in on the first day of May, don't worry about it. It's going to be gone pretty soon, right?
Yeah, don't be too surprised, but yeah, it's not going to last.
That was 620 CKRM's Corey Atkinson chatting with Phil Spivak. The normal high for today is 16. The normal low is 1 degree. Sunrise was at 5:32 this morning. The sunset is set to set. That's a tongue twister at 8:20 tonight. Around the province at this hour, Kindersley's plus 4, Battleford's plus 7, Prince Albert plus 5, Saskatoon plus 6, Swiftcurrent plus 5, Weyburn plus 7, Yorkton at plus 4. The cold spot in the province is Melfort at plus 2, and Estevan is the hot spot in the province at plus 9. We'll be back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to SaskAg Today with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
This portion of SaskAg Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. We are guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com, and by Pattison Liquid Systems. Experts in liquid fertilizer distribution, fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. The federal government is under pressure to clarify rules surrounding capital gain proposals contained in last month's budget. One of the new Canadian Entrepreneurs Incentive qualifying businesses could receive additional relief from the capital gains tax above the lifetime exemption. The problem is some businesses are eligible while others are not, according to Canadian Federation of Independent Business National President Dan Kelly. Here's CJWW's Neil Bellinger's chat with Kelly.
The federal government, when it announced its budget, made major proposed changes to capital gains. This has fundamental implications for all small businesses, including farmers, primary agriculture, fishing operations. And they're really short of details. There's, in fact, the draft legislation hasn't even been put in place. So we're flying a little bit blind. We have learned a few things, though. And one of them is about some of the winners and losers. One of the wins in the budget is the lifetime capital gains exemption will rise under this proposal from $1 million to $1.25 million. That's good news. That means that a farmer selling the assets of, the farm property or assets will have a lifetime capital gains exemption of $1.25 million, and corporate farms would have the same benefit there. But the budget also proposes a new incentive that we like, but agribusinesses, unincorporated agribusinesses, are excluded from that. This is called the Canadian Entrepreneurs Incentive, and that allows, after you've used up the $1.25 million lifetime capital gain, if you sell your property or your business for more than that, and you're incorporated, you're going to get an additional $2 million at a lower inclusion rate. You're going to actually pay a 33% inclusion rate, lower than the current 50%, lower than the proposed 67%. So that's a win for incorporated businesses. And we learned from the federal government just in the last couple of days that if you're not incorporated and you're just selling your farmland privately that's owned by the family itself, you will be excluded from that benefit. So you will get the $1.25 million lifetime capital gains, but you won't get the additional $2 million at a lower rate that other businesses and even other incorporated farms would get. That unfairness, we think, doesn't make sense.
Now, a lot of larger farms on the prairies, at least, I'm not too sure about Eastern Canada, a lot of them are already incorporated if they're, a larger family farm operation. So they would be covered under this, but if you weren't incorporated, then you wouldn't be included.
You got it. And it depends on which entity owns the farmland itself. If it's owned by the corporation, then potentially you are going to benefit from the Canada Entrepreneur Incentive. If you're unincorporated, the land's owned by you privately, then you will be hit with the higher inclusion rate after you exhaust the $1.25 million capital gain. So your inclusion rate would go from 50% to 67%. Whereas for other farms and other businesses, your inclusion rate will actually drop from the current 50% down to only one third. So it's a confusing mess of changes. Details are in short supply, but we do see some unfairness for many in the agribusiness community if there are not amendments made to this legislation.
Yeah, it does seem kind of odd that incorporated farms would get the benefit, but farms that didn't go through the process and just farmed as a family entity, they wouldn't.
You're absolutely right, but it's even more bizarre than that. That new Canadian Entrepreneur Incentive, that 33% inclusion rate on the next $2 million on sale. If you run a restaurant, you're excluded. If you run a retail shop, you're included. If you run an accounting business, you're excluded. But if you run a manufacturing business, you are included. It really just draws a line between the business community. We estimate at CFIB that about half of Canada's businesses would benefit from a preferential capital gains inclusion rate on the next $2 million in a sale. But about half of entrepreneurs, including unincorporated farms, would not. We have yet to get an explanation from Ottawa as to why some groups are in and some groups are out. We're pressing for one right now. But ultimately, we at CFIB are going to be fighting hard to ensure that all businesses, including all farms, whether they're unincorporated or not, that they get access to that lower inclusion rate on the next $2 million upon a sale.
The CFIB held a webinar on Tuesday morning for members of...
We'll have more from Neil Bellinger's chat with Dan Kelly, including that webinar, after the break.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of SaskAg Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market and Arcola Building Supplies. Small town lumberyard, big on service, ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The federal government has been under pressure from various organizations to clarify rules surrounding capital gains proposals contained in last month's budget. Neil Bellinger with CJWW caught up with Canadian Federation of Independent Business National President Dan Kelly. Kelly talks about the concerns that he's heard from members.
Well, first of all, it's you know, where can they get a straight answer? And it's certainly not coming from government just yet. The government has yet to put the detailed legislation in place for even people to have a look at. So that the first question is, what are some answers to basic questions? And sadly, we're having to make a whole bunch of assumptions as to how these rules are going to work right now. As a result, this is still a bit of a confusing mess.
And we have that June 24th date that was mentioned in the budget that they would like this to all be done by, but they haven't introduced it with the other part of the budget. So, So there's all sorts of things up in the air.
Well, and this is just it. Like, how serious are they about making these changes if they haven't even introduced the legislation? Now, the fact that Ottawa has proposed it, it can take legal effect if they've introduced the legislation. So there's still some time for them to get this across the finish line. But, you know, people are making major decisions about their future and about their family's future without full information, without the assurance that these changes are going to go ahead. And it's so deeply unfair. This is not the way to help business owners with proper tax planning. It's good that they created a window so some business owners can take, can put some changes in place. But without the rules of engagement, it's pretty hard to make sure that you're doing that in an educated way.
Do you get the sense that the finance minister maybe thinking about backtracking a bit on some of these things, and that's why we're having the delays, or
Who knows? We are following up with the Department of Finance right now to get a sense of when they're going to put the legislation in place and whether there's some room for some amendments along the way. It has become very controversial. It's not just controversial within an agribusiness community. We have a shortage of doctors right across the country. Doctors are starting to scream about these changes, and is it going to lead to a further brain drain of family practitioners and going elsewhere to practice medicine? If that happens, good luck in terms of finding a family doctor. It's already a big challenge.
So this is priority one for CFIB right now?
It's right at the top of the list. We've been working hard on getting the carbon tax rebates to back to small businesses. And I will say on that front, there is good news. We now will see $300 million returned to Saskatchewan small businesses, including agribusinesses. The government has clarified that incorporated farms will be included in the small business rebate of carbon taxes that should happen later this year. That'll put $300 million back into the pockets of small businesses across Saskatchewan, and that's a big deal. So we're pushing hard to get that across the finish line right now.
That was CFIB National President Dan Kelly.
Here's the market update with Tanner Wallace Gribner on 620 CKRM.
Here's a look at your market update. Durum at 431, feed barley at 232.58, canola at 575.92, chickpeas at 992.08, flax at 629.54, lentils at 787.50, oats at 271.32, yellow peas at 474.72, feed wheat at 233.45, and one red spring wheat down $1.33 to $326.31. Grain prices can be found online anytime at 620ckrm.com.
The Saskag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620ckrm.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of April 30th. Our last regular sale was on April 24th. D1 and D2 cows sold from $1.65 to $1.90. D3 cows sold from $1.40 to $1.65. Canter cows sold from $1 to $1.30. Heiferettes sold from $2.30 to $2.62. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.90 to $2.20. We had our last pre-sorted calf sale of the spring run on April 22nd. 300 to 400 pound steers averaged $3.85 and sold up to $4.37. 400 to 450 pound steers averaged $4.41 and sold up to $4.66. 450 to 500 pound steers averaged $4.31 and sold up to $4.66. 500 to 550 pound steers averaged $4.32 and sold up to $4.60. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $4.09 and sold up to $4.46. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $4.07 and sold up to $4.22. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $3.81 and sold up to $4.14. 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $3.57 and sold up to $3.88. And 800 to 900 pound steers averaged $3.19 and sold up to $3.57. Heifers were 35 to 50 cents back from the steers. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
Coming up next, the Resource Report.
It's the Saskag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Tanner Wallace Scribner.
Now the resource report for Mazank Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler serving southern Saskatchewan for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazank 306-721-6667. Today marks the official start date of the long-awaited $34 billion Trans Mountain Oil Pipeline Expansion Project. The federal government purchased the pipeline in 2018 in an effort to get the project over the finish line. It took more than 4 years to construct the line from Alberta to the BC coast, and is one of the most expensive infrastructure projects in Canadian history. On the markets, the TSX is up 17 points, the Dow Jones is up 387. Oil is down $2.75 to be trading at $79.18 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is up 38 one-hundredths of a cent to be trading at $72.96 U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of today's show, tune into the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. I've been Tanner Wallace-Scribner filling in for Ryan Young for Sask Ag Today.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.